Some people have too little faith in America. Some people have been listening to harsh voices from across the seas, and the voices have been getting louder. Some people are just confused. It was to deal with this confusion in one way, in one medium of expression, that a group of writers and actors in Columbia itself formed the Free Company. The Free Company has the endorsement and cooperation of the Attorney General of the United States and the Solicitor General of the United States. The members of the Free Company have dedicated their talents to the proposition that we have in this country a way of life that is unique and precious and something to be infinitely proud of. It's the American way of life. In the spring of 1941, with all our flaws and all our problems, still it is the best way of life on earth. Who are some of the members of the Free Company? Well, there's James Boyd, chairman of the Free Company, and the author of a series of American historical stories, Drums, Marching On, The Long Hunt, and Bitter Creek. He's a dollar-a-year man at the Department of Justice, and served as first lieutenant in the AEF at San Miguel in the Meuse-Argonne offensives. There is Robert E. Sherwood, chairman of the Free Company Writers. He is a Pulitzer Prize winner with a list of more than half a dozen stage successes to his credit, which his latest is the anti-totalitarian play, There Shall Be No Night. He was a member of the famed Black Watch of the Canadian Expeditionary Forces. And Paul Green, whose play you heard last week, is a Pulitzer Prize winner and author of the current Broadway success, Native Son. He was a captain of engineers in the AEF. Then there are equally important Americans, Maxwell Anderson, Sherwood Anderson, Stephen Vincent Benet, George M. Cohan, Mark Connelly, Norman Corwin, Ernest Hemingway, Elmer Rice, William Saroyan, and Orson Welles, whose stirring play on the freedom of assembly you heard 2 weeks ago, and many others. Now, Columbia's vice president in charge of broadcast, W.B. Lewis, is a member, and Columbia supplies the production, the music, some of the cast, and the time. All these individuals form a free company, a company to interpret the true spirit of the Bill of Rights, the honest way, the American way of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, has this enterprise been effective? Has it had any results? We can only say this. From the American listening public, we have received thousands of letters of appreciation from organizations of every kind, from Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor, men and women of every occupation, from soldiers and athletes, from the crippled and from the blind. It has been a stirring and reassuring experience to speak to the spirit of America, and to feel that spirit respond. Now today, we bring you a story of these United States by Archibald MacLeish, Librarian of Congress, poet, Pulitzer Prize winner, member of the Free Company, and captain in his field artillery in the service of this, his country, during the World War.
The Columbia Broadcasting System presents The Free Company.
For what avail the plow or sail, or land or life, if freedom fail? This is Burgess Meredith in Hollywood speaking for the Free Company. We hear now The States Talking, a new broadcast in verse by Archibald MacLeish. Irving Reese will direct, and Lee Stevens will conduct his own original musical score, based entirely on an old American folk tunes compiled from original manuscripts in the Library of Congress. ¶¶ This broadcast MacLeish has written for the Free Company is a broadcast about the states, about the things that are said of them these days, and the things they might be saying, and the way they might be saying it. It began to put itself together in his mind a couple of years ago when people abroad, people the other side of the water, people way off the other side of the Rhine, began talking about the states. Began saying that the states were cross-bred, mixed-blooded. Began saying that the states would never amount to anything because of their mixed blood. Began saying it was the purebred nations of the old world who would do what had to be done. Who would arrange things. Would run the world and the rest of it. Listening to talk like that, you get to wondering what the states would say to each other if they heard these words. If the words blew over them on a spring gale. If the words were blown across the continent at dawn of a thawing day in spring, when the wind was off the Atlantic and the coast of Maine. Off the Atlantic over Massachusetts, over York State, and Ohio, and Indiana, and even over Illinois. Driving the lake water in on the sand shore and on over the Mississippi till Iowa felt it. And the last year's corn rustled in the thawing field. You get to thinking of these mornings when the seacoast is pelted with rain. And the clouds drive inland over the White Mountains and the Berkshires, the Alleghenies, the Blue Ridge, the Great Smokies, and break among the mountains and tatter out, letting the light through across the Mississippi Valley, low and level so that it takes the corn shooks and the silos sidewise till they stand up tall and shining on the prairie land. The light running on ahead beyond the sun to the Bighorns, the Rockies, and dissolving in the dark beyond. You get to thinking of those mornings, and you wonder how the states would speak to each other if they heard such talk. If they heard such talk at the beginning of an east wind day when the roads are empty and the overnight trains running in through the small towns toward the cities where they're going, switch their headlights out, and the freights turn off in the country sidings, and the kitchen windows are yellow in the farmhouses, and the milking barns light up. The crows are over the fields, but few men, and the states lie there. You get to wondering what the states would say, what they would think of it.
Grünverbänden, diese Rheinwerte auch und werden. Ihre Arbeit in ein Gewinn gewesen, unser Recht,
eine Gemeinschaft. Talk. Illinois. Is there, says Iowa. There's talk in the east wind, says Illinois.
Talk about what, says Dakota. Says Kansas.
Says Arkansas.
Can't make out. Far east, says Michigan.
East of the roosters, says Indiana.
East of the morning crows, says Ohio.
East, says York State.
East still, says Connecticut. On east.
It's down east from here, says Massachusetts.
It's east of the Quaddy, says Maine, but I hear it.
Hear? What, says Texas?
What can you hear, says Virginia?
Can't be sure, says Maine. Surf on the reefs. Ice pounding away in the pans in Penobscot.
Listen, says Oregon.
Scoop your ears, said Kentucky.
Can't tell, says Maine. Too much fog. Bells in the old orchard. Horns at Ogunquit.
Listen, says Mississippi.
Try to, says Texas.
Lean your lug to the leeward, says Massachusetts.
It's tall talk, says Maine. It's tall talking. Tall as a cap in a fog.
Call it, says Arkansas.
Mean talk, says Maine. It's mouthy mean.
Mean about what? Says Nebraska.
Mean about us.
What about us, says Kentucky.
Says Texas.
Says Idaho.
Immer waren die Rechtsbücher keine Frau. Alle Kultur von Menschen am Hand und nicht umgeben, dann als um eine bestimmte Kultur von Gewehren. Die von den Kriegen auf den drei Verdienten offen dessen nieder unter.
I gather they don't like us, says Maine.
Do tell, says Connecticut.
I bum, says New Hampshire.
Well, hide my eyes, says Maine.
I'll be done. You don't say. Is that so, says York State.
I gather they don't care much for us, says Maine.
Don't they, says Washington.
Who?
Us, says Wyoming.
What's wrong, says Utah. Something we did.
Something we didn't, says Delaware.
Both, says Maine. It's how we married, says Maine. They don't care for it.
Allow me. Take my pew, says Michigan.
It's the women we married, says Maine. They don't like it. We married around. We married the English, the Irish, the Poles, the Croats, Turks, Scots, Norwegians, Spanish girls, Italian girls, Swedes, the Sioux, Comanche, the Utes, the Dutch, the French.
The Irish girls with the shoes with the quick come after. The Spanish women with the evening eyes. The English with the tiptoe faces.
The golden Swedes.
The sulky Dutch.
The Danes.
The Mexicans, lean and light in the sun with a jingling and jangling.
The Chilenas for luck.
The Jews for remembrance.
The Scots girls, tall as a tall man, silver as a salmon.
The French with the skillful fingers.
That's it. And the French. They don't care for it. We're a mixed lot. They don't like us.
Don't they?
We're bad blood, that's what they say. They've no use for us.
Who says that, says Texas? Who's this says so?
she was there on the street with the sun on her hair and her hat off. She was no kin to any I know.
What's in their soup, says Arkansas? What they been eating?
She was dancing alone on the stones in the park in the arc light. She had four words. I had the rest of them.
What's in their hair, says Maryland?
Aren't they men? Can't they make it with strangers, says Alabama?
She was out on the wharf by the sea. You could tell she was foreign. The corner of silk at her neck, the recklessness. She was holding her eyes from the old and her tongue for the new. Or she was strange as a cat, but she came to me.
She was tall.
She was small as a big child.
She was dark.
She was all gold. Her hair gold. Her skin was.
She had blue eyes.
She had black eyes.
She was proud. Listen. What's in their minds, says Maryland? Aren't they men? Are they shy, says Missouri?
Or what, says Montana?
I gather they're bred pure, says Maine. They're superior people.
So snakes is Texas. So is potatoes. Potatoes are bred pure.
They don't argue. They tell you they aren't arguing.
Who's this tells you?
Have they seen our kids, says York State? The tall girls, the long legs with the delicate slender bones, and the wrists supple and small as a man's three fingers, and the way they walk in the world with their narrow heels? You can tell them anywhere. Tell them in any country. The height of their heads and the tilt of their heels when they walk. A head higher than most. A hand smaller.
They don't say, says Maine. They don't mention.
Have they raced our boys, says Michigan, fast as black snakes? Quick on the gunners quail, the sweet striders. The watchful lads in the lead, dangerous followers. Strong hearts in the stretch home. Have they beaten them?
They don't say, says Maine. They aren't saying.
Aren't they, says Rhode Island.
Aren't, says Maine.
Who don't, says Missouri. Who don't say so?
Have they seen our town, says Kansas? Seen our wheat? Seen our flat cars in the Rocky Mountains? Seen our grass-fed cattle? Flown our planes? Silver over the Alleghenies, the lakes, the big timber, the tall corn, the horses? Silver over the snow line, over the surf?
Have they seen our farms, says Texas, and who plowed them?
Have they seen our rocks, says Utah, and who broke them?
Have they seen our men, says Kansas?
Can't say. Don't tell.
Who don't, says Nevada?
Who don't tell, says Oregon?
Where's they from? Where from? Who, says Georgia?
Can't make out. Way east, east of the sea it must be. The wind veers, says Maine. I don't make out. The wind veers and the bell tolls.
East. East, says Connecticut. East of the water, so that's...
The way east, says Iowa. East of the sea.
Eastward of that, says Maine. Farther eastward. The wind veers and the sea falls, but it's far.
East of the sea and on east of the water. The some of us come from there, says Minnesota.
Back of the sea and on back, says Missouri. Away back. Back of the Rhine. I remember.
Remember it well, says Wisconsin.
Says Minnesota.
So that's it. So that's who, says Michigan.
The boys who stayed behind, says Minnesota.
The boys we left behind us when we left.
The superior people, says Michigan.
I remember them.
Standing behind in the door, says Missouri, and watching us.
Staying behind with their coats and their collars, says Idaho.
Staying behind with their mothers and cousins, says Michigan.
Staying behind with their girls, says Missouri. The tame ones. The tame girls with the fat braids, remember?
The superior people, the pure breed, says Michigan.
The breed we left behind us, says Kentucky.
The breed we left behind us when we left.
The breed afraid of travel, says Nevada.
The breed afraid of changes, says Wisconsin.
The breed afraid of strangers, says Vermont. Strange stars and strange women, the two of them.
The breed that never hankered for a strange one. A dark one, says Dakota, with strange hair.
While they stayed home and stuck to their kin, says New Mexico.
Stay home and marry their kind, says Missouri.
Married their cousins who look like their mothers, says Michigan.
Purebred breeds, says Texas.
How could they help it? Who would they marry, says Florida? Who could they fuck?
Girls we left behind, says Missouri.
Girls we left behind. They married the girls we left behind, him says Wisconsin.
So that's it.
So that's who says Connecticut.
That's all. East of the sea, says Ohio.
So that's all, says Missouri. All for that. All for the purebred girls we left behind.
Surf on the reef, says Maine. Ice on Penobscot.
There's talk, says I.
Talk, says Illinois.
Bells in the old orchard. Bells at Ogunquit.
Flash of corn in the wind, says Illinois.
The great, strong, laughing voice of America. The voice of our American men, slow, humorous men, and easygoing, but confident, and sometimes even dangerous for those who will not understand. At times, maybe we forget what our men's voices sound like. Then comes a poet like Archibald MacLeish, who hears those voices and makes us hear them too.
Copy of Columbia's broadcast, The States Talking, by Archibald MacLeish, has been printed for distribution to listeners. For 10 cents, the cost of printing and mailing, you may receive your copy. Write to The Free Company,
in care of the Columbia Broadcasting System, New York City. Next week, our play is by Maxwell Anderson, American schoolteacher and journalist, Pulitzer Prize winner, author of What Price Glory, Winter Set, and Valley Forge. It is called The Miracle of the Danube. The star, Paul Muni. As previously announced, on Sunday, May 4th, we complete this first cycle of Free Company dramas with a play based on the original sketch written by the late Sherwood Anderson. Charles Vanda produced, Irving Reese directed. Ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of today's broadcast, a statement was read by Burgess Meredith, a statement that told fully the purpose, the problems, and the principle of the Free Company. For those of you who may have tuned in too late to hear this message in its entirety, we bring you again Mr. Meredith speaking for the Free Company.
Some people have too little faith in America. Some people have been listening to harsh voices from across the seas, and the voices have been getting louder. Some people are just confused. It was to deal with this confusion in one way, in one medium of expression, that a group of writers and actors and Columbia itself formed the Free Company. The Free Company has the endorsement and cooperation of the Attorney General of the United States and the Solicitor General of the United States. The members of the Free Company have dedicated their talents to the proposition that we have in this country a way of life that is unique and precious and something to be infinitely proud of. It's the American way of life. In the spring of 1941, with all its flaws and all its problems, still the best way of life on earth. Who are some of the members of the Free Company? Well, there's James Boyd, chairman of the Free Company, and the author of a series of American historical stories, Drums, Marching On, The Long Hunt, and Bitter Creek. He's a dollar-a-year man at the Department of Justice and served as first lieutenant in the AEF at the Samuel and Meuse-Argonne offensives. And there's Robert E. Sherwood, chairman of the Free Company Writers. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner with a list of more than half a dozen stage successes to his credit, of which his latest is the anti-totalitarian play, There Shall Be No Night. He was a member of the famed Black Watch of the Canadian Expeditionary Forces. Paul Green, whose play you heard last week, is a Pulitzer Prize winner and author of the current Broadway success, Native Son. He was a captain of engineers in the AEF. And then there are equally important Americans, Maxwell Anderson, Sherwood Anderson, Stephen Vincent Benet, George M. Cohen, Mark Connolly, Norman Corwin, Ernest Hemingway, Elmer Rice, William Saroyan, and Orson Welles, whose stirring play on freedom of assembly you heard 2 weeks ago, and many others. Columbia's vice president in charge of broadcast, W.B. Lewis, is a member, and Columbia supplies the production, the music, some of the cast, and the time. All these individuals form a free company, a company to interpret the true spirit of the Bill of Rights, the honest way, the American way of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And has this enterprise been effective? Has it had any results? We can only say this. From the American listening public, we have received thousands of letters of appreciation from organizations of every kind, from Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor, men and women of every occupation, from soldiers and athletes, from the crippled, from the blind. It has been a stirring and reassuring experience to speak to the spirit of America and to feel that spirit respond.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.